Jim Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We approach the Mother's Day weekend, and we say Happy Mother's Day to all our great mothers out there on Sunday. And let's visit with an Aledo High School grad, Karen Dahlstrom, the former Karen Flint, and she authors a blog, a mom's blog. And this month, she collaborated with her mother, who is a longtime former teacher and coach in the former Aledo School District. We're talking about Mary Flint. And the title of this, we'll share it when we post the interview on our website. We'll link the blog. Sports Moms Need to Hear These Five Important Truths. So, Karen Dahlstrom, take it away. Tell us kind of the motivation behind this piece you put together.
Sure, you bet, Jim. Thanks for letting us chat about this. I joined the Quad City Moms blog at the beginning of 2021. And so each month I put out a piece, and May did feel like that natural time, for me to bring my mom's voice into what I put together. And, cause that really obviously has shaped the way my own growth and development as a person, but obviously as a parent too. And I think the thing that's pretty special about my mom is the fact that, she's had a really deep impact on, you know, generations now of students and athletes in Aledo. And so it's been fun to see their reactions as well, just to her advice and people telling me like, gosh, I could hear your mom's voice telling these stories or telling this advice. And so I think the biggest goal with the piece was just to illustrate that whether it was when mom was coaching in the, you know, 1980s or whether it's now with the crazy youth sports world, those same lessons should apply to that we can learn from sports can apply to students and I mean our kids as well as parents as well.
Do you think your we'll get into kind of the five important truths that are posted here, but do you think your view or your lens is a little bit different because you grew up with a coach and you grew up with a teacher? And then you grew up with loving parents too, but you know, from a teaching and a coaching aspect, I know, I think you have a 10-year-old or 11-year-old. I don't know what the age is that plays youth sports. So I know when you're at some youth, sports events, you know, we talk about there is the rule and then there is the exception. The rule is most people are pretty good behaved, but unfortunately there is an exception at most places you go and you're like, yeah, you're making me uncomfortable with what you're saying. So do you approach things you think a little bit different than some of your other parents that you see out there?
I do think it's given me just a really unique perspective. A lot of times I talk about, you know, when I was growing up, my mom was coaching high school sports and, you know, sitting with a coach and a teacher every night at home, you know, you see all those long hours that they put in. You see the decisions that they're having to make, the way, you know, the ways that they're working with people. And I think that that really gives you that perspective. Gosh, when you're sitting on the sideline as a youth sports parent, my son's in fifth grade right now. And, man, are there games where I wish he'd play a little bit more or maybe play a little different position or gosh, didn't they see this really great, but I don't see it all as a parent. Right. And they're doing the very best that they can. And, you know, not, I know one of the lessons we talked about is that not every game is a good game. I think now, you know, so many times we as parents expect perfection every moment from our child and have sort of this unrealistic expectation of their ability to show up every day. And yeah, I want my son to do a great job and I want his team to perform well every weekend. But, you know, some of this is about resilience and bouncing back and knowing that the coach has the best interest of the kids in mind. And, we as parents are partners with coaches in that, you know, parents play a big role in their own kids' attitude. And I think that's something that I learned as well. But yeah, there's always that teacher and coach, Mrs. Flint on my shoulder as I'm sitting on the sidelines for sure.
Well, and I think your perspective as I talk to you is a little bit different than mine now because I've had two kids that are done playing. So my vision now is, man, I just wish they were still playing. You know, I don't care what
happened. Don't take it for granted.
Yeah, where it's over and you just long for those days of them playing again, and you're mm-hmm. sad about that. So, you know, when you picked out these five bullet points, and you collaborated with your mom on the piece, and again, we'll post this, and I shared it on my Facebook page, but I want to post this blog. So here's the five bullet points. One, there's more to a game than winning or losing. Two, it's not all about playing time. Three, not every game is a good game. Four, appreciate the opportunity to play sports. And that's where I get into the mm-hmm. thing where when you're done playing, I think, you know, hindsight is 20/20. You look back and you ask yourself, did I appreciate playing? And sometimes you say, well, I don't know. And you just wish you could have those days back. Yeah. And then five, encourage kids to be positive leaders. So just kind of a little bit about how you put the outline together and how you really came up with those bullet points.
Sure. Well, you can imagine when we were first, we knew we were going to collaborate, but we didn't know exactly what topic. So mom and I were trying all these real like fluffy topics and things like that. And then we realized we're like, let's get down to what truly has bonded us over the years. And it's not all about sports in our family, but gosh, sports sure teach you a lot as that parent-child relationship. And so I think mom, so much of this was her, you know, I just said, the way I kind of framed it with her is, what did you tell, you know, your basketball players in the 1980s that you still tell my son Grant in 2021? Like, what are those things that have stood the test of time? And it's amazing how quickly that list formed, you know? So much looks different with sports now, but you know, mom has these decades of experience to kind of go back to, and she was able to just rattle these off right away and, you know, ended up kind of pulling in a couple of examples from my own sports career. But I think that those are stories and things that have stuck with us as a family, things we've bonded over to use as learning experiences and provide that perspective. The one that didn't make the cut, was that we also talk a lot about, will something matter in 6 months? Like, that was one thing that we didn't end up working in, but I also think that that's something that mom does a great job of, is again, placing these moments in perspective rather than making everything, you know, every moment of your child's sports career is like the make or break moment. Like, no, let's put this in a broader perspective of life, of game, of the season, and all of that.
Well, and the perfect segue to that then is when you talk about this playing time issue, because the only mm-hmm. debate I'll make with you is, you wrote the blog, but I say number two should be number one. It's not all about playing time. And when you say, you know, you use that 6 month look at it in a broader scope, and mm-hmm. and I admit as a parent, when my two oldest were playing, that maybe I'd have an issue with a coach, whether you talk about position or playing time or strategy. But then you always have to take a step back and say, like you, well, what is this going to look like in 6 months? Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is, when you look at those positions, when you see angry parent mad about something and it doesn't really involve your kid, you're from the outside looking in, you always look at that situation and you say, well, don't make it about playing time, because you sure. look like an idiot. You know, don't always make it about that issue. So, you know, you always have, whatever it is, count to 10, or, you know, just take a deep breath and don't, yep. I've been upset about it, but you have to take a step back, because as you say, if you look back at the issue 6 months later and you go berserk, do you say, well, was it really worth it to go through all that trouble to do it?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Right.
And then the other thing about the playing time issue, this is an issue that's never going away. We get that. I know that. And well, I remember it was early in my career here. We had the late Rock Island basketball coach come on one morning with us on Sportsline for the whole hour, Duncan Reed. Sure. And he used the quote, all parents are rational people, but for dealing with their own child. You know, basically, and there's some truth that now I still say, well, there's unconditional love and you have to be a parent, and sometimes your kids are hurting when sports is involved. Mm-hmm. But there's some truth to that too, about, you know, you want the absolute best opportunity for your child, but so does every other parent.
Exactly.
And I guess from a teacher and a coach perspective of your mother having that, do you think that has rubbed off you, on you a little bit, where when you look at your child and say, well, man, I want what's best for him, but then you have to factor in, well, I guess the 13 other teammates that he has, their parents want the best for those kids too.
Exactly. And I think part of it is being able, and we talk about it in the blog a little bit, about being a role player. You know, you might not be a starter, but you can still play a really important role on a team. And I think that, everybody wants their child to aspire to be that key contributor, that starter, that, you know, really work toward that role. But in the meantime, you kind of have to know that there's ebbs and flows, right? Of what's going to work for your role. Are you giving your very best effort in practice? Is coach trying to teach you a lesson? You know, have you been in a hit? I'm using baseball because we're in baseball season, but have you been in a hitting slump? Maybe that's why, you know, I mean, you kind of have to look at it from that broader perspective. And mom and I, it was years after I went to high school, but the story that we share in the blog is, I still remember my senior year of high school. It was like my very best softball season. And mom didn't reveal to me till years later. She goes, you didn't play all that much. That was the year you played the Leafs. And it's so interesting because she never allowed that to be part of the narrative for me during that season, because her support was around playing that key role, seizing that moment, and, you know, really being a member of a team and not having it be all about yourself. And I think that, you know, it's a lesson for parents, I think, not to project our own feelings onto our kids as they are playing sports, because I really do think that can inadvertently ruin things for our kids sometimes if we're projecting in some way. But it's also, you know, it's a good lesson for all of us, is to maintain that perspective. And, you know, gosh, it matters to me how my kid's developing when he's 11, but what I really hope is that he still loves sports and finds an opportunity to continue playing for a lot more years. And so I don't want to make it all about the here and now and, his 11-year-old baseball team. And if he's a starter, you know, and I think it really does, you know, it can be really hard for parents, but I really do think we need to zoom out a little bit and look at this in a much broader perspective of all those things that sports have always taught kids for decades.
Yeah. And there's just not enough emphasis about the issue you bring up of being a role player. And I know just in the 30 years I've done it, all the great teams that I've covered, you know, the elite teams that make a deep postseason run, it boils down to who their role players are and not who their elite players are. I mean, because it's more middle roster, bottom of roster of, you know, complementing the top of the roster. And I think I know it's sometimes tough for parents to accept maybe a role player role, but I just know in my experience, those programs that have those type of kids and the coaching staffs cultivate that, and the parents accept that, and the student athlete accepts that, those are the programs that seem to win year in and year out. So I'm just curious though, you know, when when we talk about issues like this, you know, in being a parent and you go to games, okay, and I remember another great story I'm segueing from. I remember we had John Elder on maybe a couple of years ago, longtime principal, coach, superintendent, whatever, bus driver at Alexis, and I was asking him about what has he really noticed about the dynamic of kind of, you know, interscholastic athletics or youth sports or whatever. And he said, you know, when I first started coaching in the 60s, you know, basically it was dad that went to the game. Okay. Then as, you know, the 70s went along, maybe mom would go too. And then he says, you get into the 80s, brother, sister go, mom, dad. And then you know, transition into the 90s. It's the whole family, grandma and grandpa and everybody going. So there's all these sets of eyes looking at one direction, you know, the grandson, the granddaughter, you know, the niece, the nephew, or whatever. So then you kind of add that to the equation. So I don't know, you know, from a standpoint of like when you're at games. I'm just interested here from your perspective, where you sometimes you have this responsibility of, well, I have to be responsible for myself, but then, you know, grandpa, quiet down a little bit, you're saying the wrong thing. I mean, do you kind of see that more? I'm not talking about as it relates to you, but I'm seeing, do you kind of see that more and more as you're out and about with youth sports, I guess?
Again, my son's only 11 and I feel like I've already seen it all, but I know we're only in the middle of this journey. It definitely can compound, and if something doesn't go quite right at the beginning of the game, then everybody's stress is heightened, it seems. And so, you know, that's where I feel grateful, because you can imagine, you know, the person who I'm trying to keep track of on the sidelines is my mom. And my mom is one I know that teams that my son has been on, other parents, other grandparents really love talking to, because she brings these same lessons to the sidelines and, you know, sort of helps us all kind of see that. But, I think kids, it makes them definitely feel a lot of pressure when they know so many eyes are looking at them. But I also think every team has kind of its own dynamic. And I know that that's something my husband and I have talked about, is we've really been fortunate over time to find groups of parents and coaches that kind of have that expectation of, hey, you know, let the coach be the coach during the game. You know, you can be encouraging, but you're not talking to your kid. You're not trying to teach your kid from the sidelines. Cause again, you're trying to keep it simple. You're trying to keep it, where your child's enjoying it, you know? And, so yeah, it's much, much different even from when I was a kid. You know, I joke in the blog, there's a picture of me when I was in fifth grade playing basketball. And,
yeah, bring that, you know, hair. You need to bring that hairstyle back.
Oh, that perm. But, you know, we were like the ultimate sports family, right? And here I am wearing like this little fancy headband, and I like, you know, I don't have rec specs on. I just have like my regular glasses, and then I have on jean shorts, and it's like, that apparently is what a really serious basketball player looked like at that time. You know, and, you know, you kind of compare that with our kids now, and gosh, there's part of me that, you know, my memories over time are so fond of sports, and it's just what I want for my own son. And I think at the end of the day, that's what every parent is trying to convey. But I think there's a little bit more of that lesson number five, that be a positive leader, that we all could use in terms of, you know, keeping our focus on the big stuff and knowing that we're all kind of in it together. So,
yeah. Well, and the other thing that I was looking at, there was a couple of other things that I thought, boy, I can't believe this didn't make the list, or, you know, like don't coach from the stands. You were talking about that, you know, that could make the list. But then I'm just curious, and maybe this is too personal to ask, but like, have you been at an event or, you know, raising your son that is playing sports, and you've been at an event and maybe your mom has been with you or your dad has been with you, and they've kind of said, hey, man, you know, reel it in, tone it down, you don't act this way? Or have you ever had one of those type of moments, you know?
We as a family have not.
Oh, that's good.
Which is crazy. A running joke in our family is that my mom is definitely the most competitive. And I think anybody who knows her can picture that. And so, you know, I tend to be the one that is like, it's okay, or, you know, that type of thing. So I might get upset, but no, our family dynamic is still very much intact. And, I appreciate that my mom pushes the competitiveness with my son, because I'm competitive in my own ways, but yes.
So then I'm curious too, the segue, have you ever wanted to say anything to anybody? Like when you're at a game and you hear a fan being a complete moron, you have the urge to say something, but you resist and don't say anything. Clearly you've had to have some of those moments, maybe.
Yes. And sometimes, you know, it can be hard with the other teams when, you know, maybe you do want to defend your kids, or you want to defend, my son wants to be an umpire. So a lot of times I want to defend the, you know, 15-year-old umpire who's working our game, or that type of thing. And, Gosh, you do. You kind of want to just speak up, and now I'll maybe just have to print the blog. No, I'm just kidding. But, but it is, it's one of those things that, it can be hard to hold your tongue, I guess. And I tend to think, you know, in those moments where things are heightened and people are yelling, I do my best to try and actually calm myself and actually not yell back, because it's, you know, why add fuel to the fire? You know, almost sit back and try and be that example of, this is maybe getting a little bit out of hand. So, overall, we've been pretty darn fortunate. There was one incident did not involve our team in Little League that really stood out to our family and my son, where, you know, parents were on the pitcher's mound, like coming to blows.
Oh man.
Over like 8 year olds. And that was really, you know, that was really a moment where we were in the outfield and this was happening on a field that we weren't playing in the game, but where we as a family, you know, seeing that from, it's like what you were saying earlier, seeing something from the outside, gosh, it gives you a chance as a family to reflect that
you never want to be in that position.
We don't want to, you know, you can get frustrated, you can get upset, you can have a moment where you might lose it, but let's keep each other accountable, reel ourselves back in, and keep all this, you know, positive perspective and make it fun for our son. It's not about us. It's about the kids. So, yeah.
And it's just tough for people sometimes to accept that, because mm-hmm. how competitive things have become. You know, you feel we're at a good place. You know, I'm interested to hear from your perspective, because your son is a fifth grader, you said.
Mm-hmm.
So, what, he's probably been at it maybe 3 or 4 years with youth sports, maybe somewhere around there.
Yeah. Well, we tried soccer when he was 3, which was a poor choice. But yes, more seriously, since he was about 8 years old.
So where do you think we're at? So you do the baseball, where there's so many competitive mm-hmm. travel baseball events. Do you feel we're at a good place with youth sports in terms of your just general observation?
You know, I also kind of have the perspective, since I work in higher education, of sort of what I see from high school athletes with those college aspirations as well. And I think the only thing that, or one of the main things that I would offer on sort of the state of youth sports is, it saddens me that with the focus on so much travel and specialization and things that, we are maybe losing a chance to continue having really healthy, just community basketball leagues, or, you know, Little League and that type of stuff, just that are truly open to all kids who want to participate. And, you know, it can be tough when the conversation is, well, you know, I got to get my kid on the right, quote unquote, right team when he's 9 years old, because that's what feeds the high school team, mm-hmm. or that's what does this. And, you know, it really, and maybe that's true. And that's a reality, you know, that's a reality that we might ultimately see. But, gosh, I just really, it's staying kind of in that present moment, right? And trying to really just have our kids appreciate the moment that they're in, let them do the work that they can do now. And if those results come in the future, great. If they just learn a lot when they're in junior high and they find some other passion and something they're really good at in high school, that's okay. I mean, that's sort of my own personal opinion, but, gosh, to start placing pressure on really young kids about, you know, if you aren't doing X, Y, and Z when you're 9 years old, you're throwing away all your chances. I don't know if I quite subscribe to that. I would say the other thing too on that is, I go back and forth a little bit, but I wish kids, just practiced a little more. I mean, that sounds like a silly.
Well, no, I know, but
there's so much focus on games,
but
games.
And that's where the genie's out of the bottle, though, you know, mm-hmm. and I look back at my two oldest, you know, when they played youth sports, mm-hmm. boom, played tons of games. I mean, tons of games. And I look back and I say, I think we probably did it the wrong way, but everybody was doing it that way.
Yeah.
And I just want, do you think, as you watch it, in, you know, you become a victim of circumstance, because that's all there is. Kids get in leagues and they just play mm-hmm. games. You think so? I mean, do you think there's just too much of that? And I don't know how it ever can be reversed. I don't think it probably
right.
can ever be reversed, because if there's tournaments being played somewhere, there's going to be some teams that are going to pay their whatever $200 to get in to play in that field, play in that tournament.
Exactly. And that's always, it's like a lot of things in the world right now. I like to provide my observations, but I don't know if I always have a specific solution, but I think it's something just as parents for us to keep in the back of our mind. Like, gosh, even on an off day, you know, I think we all remember growing up, if you're somebody who enjoyed sports, you know, you just liked getting out and playing catch, or you liked getting out and hitting off the tee for a little while, or going out, you know, I never liked to run, but you know, to do some kind of some type of physical activity. And it doesn't always have to be this really structured thing where athletes are getting better. And, you know, basketball is a great example of that, of just getting out and shooting hoops. And, you know, I think that probably now as parents, we try and say, okay, well, if you're going to practice, then that's getting you everything you need as an athlete. But, you know, probably, you know, those who really kind of go next level, you know, they're probably born with genes, you know, that far surpass anything that I can dream of, but they probably also just got out and played a lot on their own, unstructured stuff. And, you know, so I guess, I don't know, I guess within the same structure, you could still be playing all of these games, but I think it also is important, especially with young kids, for coaches, especially, to remember, like, hey, you know, I know some coaches will say, gosh, you know, this is our normal practice night, but let's do a scrimmage with another team. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, what about doing drills and just having a practice? And so, again, it's just my own observations, but it definitely, I think that's where it's so different than what I remember from growing up, because, you know, I remember doing the same things thousands of times over and over every single day. It was like, here's what you do to get better in your sport, you know?
Well, and that's the thing about, you know, we've become such a society of organization as it relates to youth sports. It takes, you know, it has to be organized, and there's not the unorganized aspect of it where kids just get together and play at the park. Now, there's been, don't get me wrong, there are some exceptions where you're seeing that happen. I thought the pandemic brought some of that out, but you'd like to see more of it. But just the way leagues are set up, you know, there's just so many opportunities for kids to play in an organized setting, whatever their sport is. And, you know, the other thing I was thinking about when we were doing this, when I was looking at this list, you know, and you brought up some of the things that didn't make the list. And I thought to myself, how many pictures of Junior playing on Facebook are too many?
Yeah.
No, but that's the other thing about
every game,
but when you think about the exposure, you know, this is the thing for me that is so amazing about kids today. You know, in terms of the exposure they get of playing, you know, by just playing in the tournaments every weekend, all right, and then having the pictures of every game they play in. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying, man, the exposure that kids get now playing whatever it is, you know, they get the great bats, they get the great gloves, they get the great uniforms, they play at the great facilities. Maybe mom's taking the picture, or maybe there's a team photographer, or maybe there's, you know, we have these great people around our local schools that get out and take pictures. And I'm just like, man, look at all this opportunity in this exposure that these kids are getting now. And I just think it's so amazing. And I sometimes question, are they getting too much exposure? Do they take opportunities or situations for granted? Does this game have less of an importance as this game? How important is practice because you're doing all this? Is your travel team more important than your high school team? I mean, I just think there's so many of those type of things when I look at all this stuff that, man, it's an interesting equation to follow. That's for sure.
For sure. And if you can believe it, so one of mom's assignments as part of this blog was to just try and find a photo of the two of us from when I was playing sports.
Yeah. If you were playing today, there'd be 8,000 of them.
So that was going to, that was her assignment. Find one photo of the two of us.
Oh, hilarious.
And we could not find one. And I played every sport from when I was tiny all the way through high school. There was one from when I was a senior playing softball and we're standing at senior night, but mom's looking way over on one side. I'm looking way over on one side. It wasn't even a posed photo.
We could not find
one photo. And we said, we're like, it's the exact same commentary that you're placing on this. We're like, wow, I don't think where we're at right now is bad, that like every weekend I snap a picture with my son. I'm carrying a camera with me all the time in my pocket. But it really is kind of that moment of realizing how different it is. And there's not one photo of my mom and I together, which is crazy.
You graduated what year from Aledo?
Yeah, 2000.
Jeez, that's really amazing when you look how much has changed in 21 years.
Yeah. And maybe it was just the Flint family did not take a lot of photos, but
no, I just think it's because we're an instant society of we can get instant picture and instant upload where you have to wait for your film to be developed back in 2000
to
get those pictures and share them. All right, well, so some great observations, and we'll post the link to the blog. And you know, this is something as you go along with this blog, and this is my opinion, that I hope as you go along, you know, there's all important aspects of life. I get that. And you can talk about all those subjects, but I hope you seriously consider devoting some additional time to some of these topics when you're out and about and talking and blogging and talking about some of these youth sports issues, because I'd like to get some, you know, observations out there on a regular basis. And I think, you know, we as a society kind of need to see that and feel that and kind of hear that. So maybe that's something you can focus on down the road a little additionally.
I wouldn't be surprised if there continues to be more of that as the journey goes on, for sure. So I appreciate the opportunity just to reflect a little bit and chat. And obviously it's something that's bonded our family over the years, and hopefully those lessons are things that can help some other people too. So
yeah, and I tell people as we end, you know, a lot of these conversations I have on here, they're starting points. Like you and I can discuss these topics, but you go out, you know, if you're listening, and you can discuss these topics too, or you can take your lens out and you can go to an event and you can just sit there and observe and see, well, what are some of these issues in play? So I'm not saying I'm right with anything I've said today. I don't think you're necessarily saying that either. No. You're just posting observations. Yeah, right.
Yep.
And an opportunity for people to discuss. And like I said, I took issue with the list because I still say number one is, it's not all about playing time, should be number one on the list anyway. But appreciate the observation. Good piece, especially perfect for Mother's Day. And I appreciate you and your mom collaborating on this piece. Thanks a lot, Karen. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. And yeah, Coach Flint, I think even though she's retired, continues to have a really good impact throughout Mercer County. So we are happy to put it out. Appreciate the opportunity to chat.
Amen. You're listening to WRMJ and WRMJ.com.